Well, I'm thankful tonight for that well of living water. Aren't you? That limitless well of living water that is available for everyone. You know, as you were singing that song, I was thinking about that well of water. And I saw Jesus having that water that he offered to everybody. You know, sometimes you have a limited supply and you have a whole bunch of people and there's not enough to go around. Sometimes you're not sure whether you're going to be one of the chosen ones to receive whatever that limited supply is. But when it comes to the well of water that Jesus has to offer, it's offered to us all. And I'm so thankful for that tonight. I'm encouraged tonight with this little message that I want to leave with you. I feel like the Lord inspired me to tell you that you can win this race. You can win this race. So, run to win it. I'm encouraged tonight to run to win this race. We can run with hope. We can run with expectation. We can run with the knowledge that there are cities of refuge for us to go to when we need them, and that the Lord is going to be there to help us all the way through to the end. Yes. He has a vested interest in your salvation. Yes. He has no interest in you being lost. He's not out there seeing what kind of obstacle course he can put out there with his sword raised, saying, all right, now, if you mess up, you're out of here. So we're going to winnow it down here to a narrow field. I remember one of my classrooms I went into one day, and the professor said, I want you, first day class, first words out of his mouth, look to your right. We looked to our right. Look to your left. We looked to our left. We thought he was going to say, you know, hold hands, sing a song together, get to know each other. But he just looked at us and said, those people will be gone by the end of the first semester. That was his welcome to us. Didn't have room for everybody. So his intent was to get rid of as many as he could. That is not the way it is with the Lord tonight. God has a plan. He has an experience so that every single one of you here tonight, here's the good news, regardless of your background, you can win the race. You can win the race and be saved and have a heavenly home. I have this question this morning or this evening. Have you ever ran in a race where you didn't really care whether you won or not? You ever been in one of those races? Or where you about gave up before you ever started? I don't know, maybe it's in my DNA, but I always felt like that in growing up, we'll just stick with growing up. That when they said, let's go out and see how far we can throw the football, they weren't trying to figure out how many people could throw it the least amount of distance. No. I thought they meant throw it as far as you can throw it. When they said it's time to see how many shots you can make at the free throw line, they weren't trying to figure out who could miss the most shots. So the intent was to give it your all. And I always thought when they said, on your mark, get set, well, when you heard those couple phrases, to me, my heart started beating a little faster. There was a sense of urgency that went along with that. On your mark, get set, the meaning was, they weren't trying to figure out who was going to end up last. It was a race that was getting ready to take place. And the intent was to win. Yeah. And I'll confess, I don't remember winning a lot of races where I started out to try to lose it. I tried to win most races, about all races I can remember. I wanted to win the race. Yeah. I tried to win the race. And I remember in school, if you ever in school in PE class and came time where you're supposed to do running and track, I always remember it seemed like no matter what grade I was in, there was always this group of people that hung out at the very end of the whole classroom of kids. And they didn't act like they had any interest at all in running. Maybe it was a race. Maybe you're supposed to go a mile and time yourself. And there would be a group of people that were just lollygagging along back there. Talking, then maybe the teacher would kind of tell them they needed to run. So they might jog a little bit, and then pretty soon they'd stop. I never really understood or quite frankly, I didn't respect it a whole lot. But in the end, it was just a grade. It was just a grade in class. It wasn't the end of the world. Whether they walked or whether they ran, whether they won the race or whether they lost the race. But there are some things in life that should inspire an increased sense of urgency within us.
Yes.
There are some things where you can't hang in the background and have it be okay.
No.
It's not just a grade.
No.
If a child's getting ready to run out into a busy street, it's not time to sit back and say, well, you know, maybe tomorrow, if things work out, maybe I'll go say something to that child and hold them back. That's too late. It's time to move out, to do something about it. If you're driving down the road and a car hits their brakes, you'd best feel a sense of urgency to hit your brakes too. Or somebody's going to lose their life, or get hurt, or you're going to have some equipment damage along the way. It drives a sense of urgency. Within the last month or so, there was a lady close to our house that went unconscious, and she drove off into the bayou. And I drove by it right about the time it happened, saw the fire trucks coming in. And there were people that saw it happen. Well, they could have stood there and said, well, I hope the lady makes it out of there okay. I hope somebody's capable of helping her and not done anything. But see, there was a sense of urgency.
Yes.
They needed to get down there. If the lady was going to be saved, they needed to move.
Yes.
They needed to go quickly. They needed to try to do everything they could to make the situation turn out as it should. Well, I want to say this tonight. Are you inspired to run with everything you have with a sense of urgency because of your eternal soul? You see, your eternal soul is at stake too. Eternity's real. And it's a long time. I don't know how to define eternity. I don't know that anybody does. It's beyond a long time. And we can get so caught up in this life and the things that are going on around us that we can lose sight of the race that we're in. We must win this race.
Yes.
It's not a race that it's okay to stay in the background. It's not a race that's okay to hang on the sidelines. We must win this race.
Yes.
I think of it this way, if we were to take this tent, everyone in the tent, and line everybody up according to who is going to meet the Lord next, did you know there'd be an order to it?
Yes.
If God was here, He could stand up here and say, okay, Rod, you might not have thought this, but why don't you come stand right up here? And he'd line us up, and every one of us would have a place in that line. And I suspect tonight that we might be surprised who was first in line.
Yes, we
might. You might be real surprised who was the first 10 in line. Because a lot of times, many times, it doesn't go by age.
That's true.
It doesn't go by age. I've got to run to win. And I can't wait until the race gets further down the road to decide that I'm going to try to run. I want to run to win. And because I don't have a choice on whether or not I'm going to run or not.
Yes.
Everybody here tonight is a participant. You're in the race whether you want to be or not. Sometimes people say, hey, who wants to play this game? And some people say, oh, I'll play. And others say, nah, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I'm going to sit off to the side. You cannot do that in this race. This race is for real, and it is 100% participation.
Yes.
Everybody's running. Everyone's participating. And the Lord is keeping track of how you're running. I want to read a verse in Malachi. Malachi is right before Matthew, last book of the Old Testament. It says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly. Did you notice those words, all?
No.
There was no exception.
No,
not. It said, they shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Listen to this. But unto you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Every one of us tonight can grow up as calves of the stall. Every one of us can win this race. Nobody needs to be left behind. This race is serious. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not for those that want to do a halfway job. You're in this race. You can't sit in the bleachers.
No.
You can't watch. You can't voluntarily remove yourself. God help us to run this race to win it.
Yes.
Because you can win it. Paul said it this way in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but just one receives the prize? You know that's how it is.
Yes, it is.
If we all gather outside this tent, we may all be different ages. We can say we're going to have a little foot race. Somebody can say on your mark, get set, go. And in the end, there's just going to be one person that'll win. There's just going to be one person. So if you want to win, you're going to have to do everything you can, run as hard as you can, if you want to be the winner. Because if you don't, somebody else is.
Yes, sir.
And Paul said, you run this Christian race like you're the only one that can win.
Yes.
In other words, it's as if only one can win. So how would you run if that was the case? Well, you'd give it everything you had, wouldn't you? You would run and give it your all. You wouldn't want anything to come in the middle, particularly when we're talking about our eternal soul. And he said, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible prize. People out in the world today, they go to great lengths to be the best at something.
Yes, sir.
Whether it's running or jumping or all kinds of entertainment. The corporate world, the financial world. You choose whatever you want. People go to great lengths to be the best in their field. They get up early. They stay up late. They sacrifice. They do without. They do things they don't feel like doing. They do things that when everyone else is having fun, they have to stay back because they want to be the best and they're committed to it. And it's temporal. It's not even lasting. We're running a race that's going to determine our eternal destiny. How are you running tonight? Are you running with that in mind? Or are you just comfortable? Are you comfortable to hang back? Are you comfortable not to give it all of your energy? Well, I'm a Christian. God loves me. God's bigger than a lot of these things. Thank the Lord He died on the cross. I'm depending on that. I am too. But God doesn't want me to presume upon His grace. He wants me and He wants you to bring forth fruit, meat for repentance.
That's right.
Have you thought about that verse before? It gets my attention. When I get down and say, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I want to be careful about not just hopping up and saying, well, thank the Lord for the cross, and go on my way as if nothing's changed in my life. God's looking for a change in your life.
Yes.
He's looking for you to run the race with the end goal in mind. Him,
yeah.
Heaven.
Yeah.
He wants us to run and put aside the things that would hinder us. He wants you to be willing to sacrifice. We live in a world where everything but sacrifice is almost promoted.
Yes.
Do what you want. Get what you want.
Yeah.
Here's how to get it. Don't let anybody else tell you what's... The way of the cross, though, is just that. It involves letting go of some things. It involves doing some things you don't feel like doing. But the reward, the payback is there.
Oh, yes.
But if you want to make it to the end tonight, you are going to have to run to win.
Yes.
Not run aimlessly. He talked about that here too, didn't he? I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You know, we can spend a lot of energy on a lot of things.
Yes.
And we can do it in the name of religion, too. I mean, we can live our religious lives. And if you'll allow me, I mean, we can be so diligent. And I'm not taking away from these things, but we can be careful about the way we dress, and we should. It's important. It's taught. God teaches for a modest people.
Yes.
We can be careful that we don't dare show up at a place that somebody might see us and think ill of us. We can spend a whole lot of time doing a lot of things and spend a lot of energy and completely miss the living water that God has for us. God wants to do something for us that comes from the inside. He wants a tree that bears fruit from the roots. He doesn't want fruit that's been taped onto the tree that didn't come from inside.
No.
I can have and I can look all the right way. And somebody might pass by and say, well, that looks like an apple tree. Until they get closer and find that it's a pecan tree with apples masking taped onto the branches. And they look at that and go, well, that's odd. Those apples didn't come from that tree. It's a form. It just looks good. God wants us to run the race from our hearts, within our hearts. He wants you to be willing to do whatever it takes to get an experience down in your soul. And then those other things will be a result. You will not want to go to places that are worldly. You won't want to listen to things that are of the wisdom of the world. You won't want to look like the world looks and the way that they dress. It won't be just a list on the board that we're trying to cover. It's because you've got the Lord down in your heart and it comes out of you because you're running to win. You want to make heaven. It's where your heart is. God help us to run like that. That's what I want to do. The Scripture said all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient.
Yes.
I want to run, and if I decide and determine, and the Lord talks to my heart and says, hey, Rod, this thing right here is hindering you in your race. I don't want to say, well, I don't see where the Scripture says that I can't do that, and no one will think bad of me, so I think I should be able to do that. Listen, if I'm trying to run the race to win it, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to win the race.
Sure.
If the Lord speaks to my heart and asks me something, I want to say, yes, Lord, that's what I'm trying to do, is win the race. If you're trying to climb up to the top of the mountain, you don't want to take your furniture with you. That's not the objective. You don't want to strap your bed on your back. You're not going to bed. You're trying to get to the top of the mountain. You can do that if you want. If you want to haul a spare tire with you up to the top of the mountain, you can. But you'll pass some people and they'll say, what are you doing with the tire? That's odd. Where are you going? Well, I'm headed to the top of the mountain. Well, what are you doing with the tire? Well, there's no law that says I can't haul a tire to the top of the mountain. No, there's not. But if you want to get to the top of the mountain, you better think about how you're getting there, because you need to lay aside whatever weight you need to lay aside. I can show up to the racetrack, and someone may say, listen, if you don't win this race, it's going to mean the death of your children. You better run well. And they might stand there with a gun against my children. You think I'm going to show up with steel-toed boots on? I could if I wanted. And they could say, what are you wearing those for? I could say, well, there's no law against it. Scripture doesn't tell me I didn't find anywhere in the rule book that I can't wear steel-toed shoes and run this race. But what are you trying to do? I'm trying to save the lives of those I love.
That's right.
Why would I wear steel-toed shoes?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm running to win. You see the difference?
Yes.
We can live our lives and get so caught up, I don't want to live under the law anymore. Sometimes I feel like people were under grace. We have the privilege to be under grace, but we live as if we're under the law. We try to find out exactly what I can get by with and have it not be considered sin. Well, if you do that all through your life, and you're always looking for those places where you can do it and it technically not be sin, then what you're really saying is, I'm being saved by adhering to this list of rules that I must do to be saved. You live, that's under the law. We're saved by grace. God has a better experience for us than that. He has water for us to drink. He has a Holy Spirit that He wants to fill in our insides. And when we have that, we will run, and not only will we follow everything that God says in the Scriptures, but if we find areas that slow us down, we're going to slow down. We're going to say, whoa, wait a minute. Stop the chariot. You remember that story? Who was it? It was Philip in the Ethiopian, remember?
Yes.
And they were going along in the chariot, just like we go along in life, in a rush. The chariot's going down the road. And he's reading in the Bible, discovers something where he's short, where he needs to do. The Scripture says we need to be baptized. And he sees water, and he says, whoa, what hinders me? And it said he stopped the chariot. Stopped the chariot. So that he could do business with what the Lord of the Lord said for him to do. Let us be willing, as we're headed on this race, that when the Lord speaks to our heart, that we are willing to do whatever to win the race.
Yeah.
Everyone else may not understand why you're doing what you're doing. People may come along and say, that's not necessary. You don't need to do that. Well, you may not need to do it, but God's convicted me.
Yeah.
I want to do this. Maybe he'll open it up for me down the road. But right now, I need to do this.
Yeah.
Because I want to be saved. And I need to set it to the side, or I need to pick it up. It's not always setting things to the side, folks. Sometimes it's picking things up.
Yes.
The Lord wants us to pick some things up sometimes. It's about responsibility, taking ownership, being willing to run the race as a dependable servant of the Lord to take the gospel to the world. That's part of the race. God wants us to take what He's given us and run this race faithfully and be a light to those that are in the world. He wants us to reflect and emanate who He is. And when His Spirit comes along and says, that's, Rod, that's taken away from who I am, I want to say, oh Lord, yes Lord, what would Thou have me to do, like Paul said on the road to Damascus? Lord, what is it that You would have me to do? And then say, yes Lord, here am I. I don't want to be distracted by the things of this life. And there are so many distractions. There's so many things to consume our time, to consume our energy, to rent space in our minds. And what's left for the Lord? What do we leave Him? God wants us to look on Him. He doesn't want us to look on all these other things all the time. He wants us to look to Him. He wants us to find our salvation in Him and let His Spirit live in us so that we can be a creature full of the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord. I'd like to read a verse now in the third chapter of Acts. This was the story of the lame man. Remember when Peter and John went into the temple? It said, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, stood and walked, and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, if you'll allow me a little liberty again this evening. This man right here, it said daily he was brought to the gate. He was daily brought to the gate and sat at the gate and asked of alms. And to me, this man that was brought to the gate, this man was in a rut. He was stuck in a repeating routine. Every day he came to the gate, he was dropped off, and every day his life consisted of trying to see what he could get in silver and gold or alms that day, so that then he could take what was given him and then do whatever it was he thought best for himself. That's what he was doing that day. Likely, though, he was looking for things that didn't change his life. He was looking for things that could just help him make it through life the best that he knew how to do. And I'm struck by what instruction Peter gave him when he came by that day. He came by that day and he looked up at Peter and John again looking for alms. And Peter said, Look on us. Look on us.
Yes.
I don't have silver and gold. That's not what I have to give you. But he said, Look on us. He had something that went far beyond the silver and gold. Far beyond those things that we so often look to in life that we think are going to satisfy us. We have got to get our eyes off of the distractions of life that we think we can then take and apply to our lives the best that we know how just to get through life. If we're going to win this race, God wants us to look up. He wants us to look on Him. When Peter and John came by, no doubt, he was looking to see maybe what they would drop in the bucket. Maybe he wasn't even looking at their eyes. I don't know. But Peter wanted his attention. And he looked at him and he said, look on us. He didn't just say, rise up, I don't have any silver and gold, but rise up and walk. He wanted the man's attention. Look on us. Look in my eyes. I want your attention. I don't have silver and gold, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And the man experienced a whole new world, a whole new experience. He went away leaping and shouting, praising the Lord. What would he have done if, as soon as he heard Peter say, well, silver and gold, I don't have any of that, he went, well, I'd like silver and gold. That's what I need. I go on your way. And rejected it and didn't look up to where the Lord wanted their attention, he'd still have been a lame man, wouldn't he?
Yes, he would.
And that's what people are doing unnecessarily today.
Yes.
Unnecessarily today, we get in our minds how we want to run this race.
Yes.
We get in our minds how we think the race ought to be run. And we run this race and then we wonder why sometimes that we're struggling. We wonder why we don't have the victory that we'd like to have. We wonder why it is that we hear testimonies of others of grace and happiness and strength and we don't have it. Maybe it's because God is telling us and asking us, look up, look on me. Get your eyes off of the distractions of the world. This world is full of the silver and gold type attractions that capture our attention, capture our time, capture our minds. And the Lord is saying to us, look up.
Yes.
And so many today, they are feeding on a diet of things that are going to pass away.
Yes.
Hollywood doesn't have it.
No.
They don't have it. People can spend more time watching things that come out of a worldly institution, listening to things, the wisdom of the world. People delay and defer action because they want to do other things. That is not running to win. God wants us tonight to run to win because you can win. And He knows that you can win. And He's made provision for you to win. And He's encouraging us to win. He just wants us to look up. He wants us to look on Him. He wants us to not hang in the back and be a defeatist from the very beginning and say, well, I guess it's just not for me. It is for you. Some people say, well, my opportunity passed a long time ago. I messed up. I did wrong. I sinned. This is a good-looking story. It's just that it doesn't apply to me because it's too late. No, it's not. Paul was the chief of sinners. He self-proclaimed chief of sinners, and he made it in with victory. And you can make it in.
Sure.
You can win the race. God is just asking us, look up, look on me, run to win, put off all of these other things. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us therefore lay aside every what?
Weight.
Not just sin? Weight and sin.
Yes.
Let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto who? Jesus.
Sure.
Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, I don't know about you, but I suspect that most of you in here tonight, many of you in here, can look back and think about a mother in Israel, or a father, or a grandfather, or a great-grandfather, somebody that was you are close to, that lived close to the Lord, and they lived a saintly life all the way to the end, and they passed on the glory to the other side. And I just wonder if those are some of the folks he's talking about. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about, we're surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, those heroes of faith that have gone before us, those people that you know, that went before you looking down, cheerleading us on, saying, you can do this. You can run. Don't let up. Don't slow down. Be an example. You might feel alone. Keep running. You're on the right track. When the rest of the crowd takes the road well traveled, and you find yourself on the road less traveled, and you start doubting yourself, and you start wondering, is this right? And you look at the Word, and it's, yes, Lord, it's right. Lord, if there's something I'm not doing right, please show me. And you look around, and no one's around you. There's a cloud of witnesses that are looking down, encouraging you, no, stay on it, stay with it. Don't give up. You're on the right track. We have the angels in heaven. We have the Lord that is at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us, making intercession for you, so that you can win this race. And He said, laying aside every weight. Didn't say some weights.
No.
Didn't say the weights that you're willing to let go of. Laying aside every weight. You know, I think sometimes we lay aside some weights. And the Lord's calling us to lay aside every weight.
Yes.
Yes, He is.
The devil doesn't have to use sin to cause you to lose your soul initially. He can drag you down with weights.
Yes.
One verse says, "And take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness." The other sound pretty bad. Remember the third one? Cares of this life. God doesn't want us to be intoxicated with the cares of this life. God wants us to be so in tune with His Spirit that when His Spirit comes along and says, "Rob, that's a weight," that I hear it and I'm willing to respond to it. He didn't say it'll always be easy.
No.
But do you want to win? You can win. You can win. You just have to be willing to give it your all. That's what God wants you to do. Give it your all. He paid the price. He's just looking for a people who's willing to give Him their all and be disciples and follow after Him. That's what I want to do tonight. I want to give Him my all. I want to run with everything. Thought of Bartimaeus. We talked about Bartimaeus the other day. He cried out. He ran into an obstacle when they told him to hush up and to quiet down. And it said he cried even the more. And then it said Jesus stood still with all the people that were around clamoring for Jesus' attention. He kept moving down the road until he heard a man who was running to win. He ran into somebody who was ready to get down to bedrock no matter what. And it said Jesus stood still. That got his attention. You may think that you're not as capable as the next guy. You may think you haven't been as given as many spiritual talents as the next person. God's interested in you using the talents He's given you to the very best of your ability.
Yes, He is.
Do you think that the man that He gave five talents, do you think he'd have been satisfied if that man returned two talents?
No.
And then the man said, I'll return just as much as the man over here returned two. No. And God doesn't want the one that had two talents that gained four to be discouraged because the other man gained five.
No.
God's just looking for us to run to win.
Yeah, that's right.
To give it your all. To do everything. Bartimaeus, when he cried out to the Lord stood still. And then they told Bartimaeus, he said, "Come on." And you remember what it said Bartimaeus did? Threw off his coat. I don't know what all that means. But I want to tell you what it means to me. Bartimaeus was willing. He was going to leave it all on the line. He stepped off of his place of the curb that might have been Bartimaeus' corner. I don't know. That might have been the corner he came to all the time. But he left his corner, let somebody else take his place if they wanted to. He threw off his coat and he just threw everything to the side and went out to find Jesus. "Lord, I need you. What do you want? Lord, I want to see." And he received his sight. I want to run that way. When I run into obstacles, when I recognize that I have a weight that's holding me back, I want to cry the louder.
Yes.
I want to say, "Lord, help me. Lord, I want to be saved. I don't want this to drag me down. I want to run to win." Tonight, I don't like the consequences or the alternative if we don't.
No, not either.
Eternity's a long time. God is looking for a people who are willing to run this race with all of their heart. He's not looking for a divided heart.
No, He's not.
He's not looking for a people that are halting between two opinions.
Yeah.
He's looking for a people. He didn't say we had to be perfect. The Scripture said, "He will perfect that which concerneth me." If we're willing to give it our all, He'll begin to help perfect us. But He's calling us like we are and inviting us. "Would you like to run the race? Would you like to be part of my army?" "Yes, Lord, count me in. I am in. I'm going to give it my all." And if we do that, we too will experience that well of water that springs up within our soul, that then the fruits of the Spirit become manifested in our lives, and we can run this race all the way to the end and get to the end of the way and have the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Tonight, you can win. Run to win. Amen.